Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless and worship with us today.
Welcome to those of you watching this at home. This is the ninth Sunday after Sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all our sins. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence. Eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, forgive all of your sins. An ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We now turn to the intro, which is printed on the inside cover. You open your hand. To the Lord with thanksgiving. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He gives to the beasts their food. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as he was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. You open your hand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to Zion in the highest, and peace to his people on Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading, which is appointed for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, beginning with verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. This is the name by which we will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The gradual is printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the unsaved. circumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and 2 fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he said a blessing, and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before the people, and he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation, may be seated. And at this time, I would like to invite our younger Christians to come forward for the children's music. Good morning. It's just music to my ears. It's been a busy summer. Yeah. It has been. You know what? I have missed you guys because we haven't had a children's message in a long time. It has been a long time. We've had all these special things going on Sunday mornings. And finally, it worked out to have a children's message today. So I hope all of you are doing really well. You're having a great summer. This week, there were some crazy things that happened around here on Tuesday. I ended up spending a lot of time in my basement. Does anybody know why I might have spent a lot of time in my basement on Tuesday? Because the basement flooded just a little bit, a couple of some water down there in the parsonage basement. We had so much rain on Tuesday. We are thankful to the Lord that He sends rain to water the earth, but He has cleaned up the country. And so we spent a lot of time down there. And when we were in the basement, we also got to see some of the old toys that are down there. I brought with me today one of the old toys that we have in our house. This is what they call a puzzle, but it's not very puzzle. It's not a very difficult puzzle. This is kind of like a puzzle that you would do if you're like a baby or a toddler and you're just kind of learning about how to fit shape into a hole and that sort of thing. It's not very hard to figure out. This is actually into babies. So we really don't have any use for this puzzle, but I'm glad that we had it in the basement because it means I get to use it as a children's message props. So here's what we're going to do. All right, so don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. All right, you don't have to spin and grab all the pieces. And so see, here's the deal. This is a shape like a house, right? Because it is a house, but the house has different shapes that the puzzle pieces represent, like the triangle is the roof of the house, the oval is supposed to be the tree, the square is the window, and the rectangle is the door, right? And the circle is the sun. So it's really easy to figure out what you need to do to put each piece into each hole, because it's pretty obvious they're all basically different shapes. So as long as you fit the one that has the right shape into the right hole, you're good to go. The picture, right? So, those of you who took a piece, let me see that rectangle. Right? So, put it right here in the rectangle spot, and it's easy. It fits, right? Let me see the square set. Got a square right here, now we've got a window. Easy peasy, right? My average is a triangle, now I've got a roof. We've got my own case and pins and lean. So, there you go. Place that oval right there. Now I've got a tree, right? But where's the sun? Zach just asked me. Where is the sun? The sun is gone. It disappeared. So what are we going to do? Now, can I take one of these other pieces and kind of put it up here so we can kind of have something that looks like a sun? Like that word? This time is not going to fit, is it? How about the square? The oval is kind of roundish, right? It's too tall. Yeah, you're right. It's not going to fit there. So there's no piece that can go in that spot except for the circle sun that's supposed to go there, right? The sun, yeah, like the real sun. I can't put any other piece there even if I wanted to, right? You can't make it work. I can't finish it without that exact piece. If I can't finish this puzzle, I'm going to be so mad. No, that wouldn't make me mad if you couldn't finish the puzzle. Well, this puzzle is not that big of a deal, but what if you had a puzzle that's like 500 pieces, and you had 499 of them, and you just didn't have that one last piece of piece that I think you had? Now, sometimes, when we get upset in our own life, it's kind of like there is a hole in our heart that's we get angry, or we get upset, we get sad about something that's going on in our life, we have like a hole in our lives that we want to fill. And maybe we want to try to fill that hole with things that don't quite fit. If I'm having a bad day, help me with it. Jesus, right? God the Father, God the Son, who else can help me? God the Holy Spirit, yeah. And there are other people in our lives, new friends, family, right, that can help us when we're not having a great day. But sometimes there are only certain, there are certain things in our lives that only God can take care of, right? And the big one that causes a missing piece in our life is the thing that we call sin. Sin makes us have more than just a bad day. Sin actually puts us on a path that goes opposite from God. God wants us to live. He teaches us about how to live in the Bible. But when we commit sin, we're actually doing the opposite of what we should do. And that creates a hole in our lives. Now, I'm going to tell you, just like this hole that we have here, this puzzle is circle-shaped. The hole that's in our lives is God-shaped. Now, I don't know what God is shaped like. Maybe you can imagine in your mind what God is shaped like. But only God can fix our sin problem. So the hole in our lives that sin creates is a God-shaped hole. God saw our problem by sending us the Savior from our sin. Jesus has come into our lives, and He fills a hole in our lives perfectly that sin has created. So Jesus, by dying on the cross and rising again, has taken all our sins away, and He has made us whole. There's nothing else in this world that can fill that hole in our lives, just like there's no other shape that's going to fit up here. But thankfully, Jesus is taking care of that problem for us. He's the only one who can do it. So we give thanks to God that He sent us the Savior. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today, but let's close our children's message by saying a prayer. If you fold your hands and bow your heads, and you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank You for sending us a Savior. Your Son, Jesus, who has filled the hole that sin created in our hearts. Help us to trust in You. Your name we pray. You guys can go back and say your mom's dad. And your grandma's. Don't forget grandma. And we're going to continue with our sermon hymns, I believe, number 554. I'm going to go to the next slide. Our sermon today is the Old Testament reading. This passage from Jeremiah chapter 23, where the Lord has some harsh words for the false shepherds who had been in charge of leading the people of Israel, but instead had been scattering them and destroying them. But God had mercy on his people and sent them a good shepherd, sent them his own son, Jesus Christ, to be their leader, to be the hero that they needed, to give them everything and give us everything that we need in this life that is so filled with trouble. This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Perhaps now, more than ever before, people seem like they are really into superheroes. I think a lot of that has to do with this big, massive movie project that has been going on, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, called the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that has been cranking out blockbuster movie one after another for the last several years, going all the way back to 2008, and is still going strong. In fact, it's actually timely that I mention it, because the newest movie in the franchise is coming out later this week on Friday, and I know lots of people are going to go and see it. But, you know, before this whole movie resurgence happened, I remember thinking, you know, back when I was kind of growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, that it seemed like comic books and superhero stories were sort of fading away in pop culture. That people just didn't seem to care about them as much as they used to, that they weren't nearly as mainstream. Of course, you always have your super fans that collect all the memorabilia and things like that, but it just didn't feel then like it does now. And I think that makes sense to a certain degree, that some of these characters and heroes kind of dissipate over time and not be as popular as they used to be. I mean, some of these characters are really, really old. You know, you think about like Batman and Superman, you're talking almost 100 years old when they first made their appearance. You know, back in the 1930s or 1940s, Captain America, Spider-Man came out in the 60s. I mean, these characters are starting to show their age, or they were, but now everything has completely changed. Superheroes have made a total comeback in our world, and now you have all these names that people are remembering again, like Tony Stark and Steve Rogers and Bruce Banner and Peter Parker. These are becoming household names. We can ask ourselves, why? Why is it? Why now? Why did they decide to make all these movies now? Why was this the perfect time? Why have people responded in such a positive way? I was reading an ABC News article a while back that tried to ask that same exact question. Tried to take a look at when superhero stories and comics were popular years ago, and what was going on in the world then versus what's going on now, and why they've made the resurgence that they have. And what is it about life today that's similar to what the world was like in those days? You take Captain America, just as an example, right? Captain America came on the scene during World War II. And really, it was at a time when obviously there was all this global unrest, but there was this hunger for a story where good was going to triumph over evil. And literally, in the very first Captain America comic in March of 1941, Captain America is depicted as punching Hitler in really popular product. Understandably so, right? And that's just kind of how it went. So the article that I read goes on to say that you can really see a link between the popularity of superheroes and how vulnerable people, especially Americans, but all of us, how vulnerable people feel at any given moment in history. So the conclusion of the article is that in the mid-2000s, when the Marvel Cinematic Universe was created, that was the perfect time for superheroes to make a resurgence, because we were just in those first few years after 9/11, and the world was engaged in this conflict. We were fighting terrorism in the Middle East, and all of these things were going on. People were needing some good superhero stories. People wanted to see the good guys beating the bad guys. Characters who could tackle problems that are just way too tough for us mere mortals to figure out. And of course, ever since that first Iron Man movie came out in 2008, things have only gotten even more complicated in the world to this day. So I think that's part of the reason why this has continued to be so popular and why people keep coming back to the movies. So I was thinking about all of those things as I was reading through this Old Testament reading that we have here in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 23. And as I was thinking about that, I've come to the conclusion that it actually goes even deeper than that. Unrest and chaos are part of what makes superheroes appealing, that's for sure. But there's definitely more to it. There's something else going on here that the fine folks at ABC News, I'm sure, were not able to quite put their finger on or figure out how to word into the article, because it's kind of hard to measure. It's certainly not politically correct. But I would suggest to you that all of these things that we're seeing, the need for heroes in our life, comes as a direct result of spiritual warfare, which goes on, of course, in this country for sure, but all over the world. The fact is, when you look at the world around you, people are hungry. They're hungry for spirituality. They're hungry for answers to the tough questions. They're hungry for someone to make sense of all of this craziness that's all around us. They're hungry for Jesus, even if they don't realize that they're hungry for Jesus. And that's similar to what I was just saying to the kids in the children's message, right? We all have this God-shaped hole in our lives. And that hole longs to be filled with our Creator's love. But so often we end up trying to fill that hole with other things that don't quite fit. And some of those things are things that we would call positive things. Sometimes we try to fill the hole in our lives with, you know, family and friends and career or whatever that might be. Sometimes we try to fill the hole with not so positive things too. You know, things that are as a result of bad decisions on our part, things that we think are going to make us feel better in the moment and kind of try to take the pain and the chaos away, but end up just making things worse. Bad decisions and addictions and careless spending and getting tied up in unhealthy relationships. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But the point is, you can't fill the hole. The God-shaped hole can only be filled with God. It's the only thing that's going to satisfy our longing. God himself. Everything else is going to fall short every single time. And this is what was going on in the lives of God's people, God's children, the Israelites, those who were being addressed in this passage here in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah was called to deliver a message of repentance to God's people. At that time, there was a lot of chaos. The kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah, that Jeremiah was preaching to, surrounded with enemies on all sides, and these kingdoms that were so much bigger and stronger and tougher than they were. And at that time, it was really the Babylonians that were the biggest issue. The Babylonians were starting to take over the entire region. They were quite literally threatening to take over the entire world. So what happens when someone threatens to take over the world? You need a superhero, right? You need someone who's going to step in and save you. Save the world from being taken over by evil. The Israelites were hungry for a superhero. But they ended up in that hunger, being fed by the wrong heroes. They actually turned to some of these earthly leaders, which, you know, they thought they trusted them. But these earthly leaders, these kings, these priests, these elders of the people, they did not have the Israelites' best intentions at heart. And they led them to believe that if they wanted a hero, instead of turning to the Lord of heaven and earth, they turned to these other gods. Maybe even the gods of the Babylonians. Maybe if you worship their gods, then they'll leave you alone. Maybe we should fight evil with evil. Is that how it works, right? Absolutely not. It was a bad idea, and it didn't work out. So God, through the mouth of Jeremiah here in chapter 23, has some pretty harsh words for them in this reading today. He says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." Then he says, "You have scattered my flock and have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds." The Israelites were really hungry for comfort and the peace that come from having faith in a loving and powerful God, but they were being fed poison instead from the very people that God had given them to care for them, to provide for them and lead. And God was not going to sit back and just watch this happen. So he decides he's going to take matters into his own hands and he's going to take care of it himself. And that's exactly what he did, because that's what true superheroes do. Superheroes don't just stand around and wait for things to magically fall into place on their own. Superheroes take care of things. They come into the world and they take care of those destructive forces. They remove them from the face of the earth. They save Earth's innocent citizens. They take care of the things that people can't do on their own. So Israel, and really the entire world, ended up getting the hero that we really needed. And God sent us His Son. He sent Jesus Christ into this world to destroy the very heart of the problem, not just the surface level issues, but the very root of evil. Jesus didn't just take the bad shepherds and replace them with good shepherds and say, "Oh, that's good enough." He didn't just swoop in and rescue us from some evil villain and flash us a big smile and say, "All in a day's work." No, look at how Jesus is described. Verse 5 is the greatest superhero. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Judah will be saved." This is what separates the reality of salvation that Jesus won for us and the fantasy of the stories that are told in comic books. Movies, that Jesus' death and resurrection didn't just beat up a bad guy temporarily just until the next movie comes out because we need you to buy another ticket and come back and hear another story. Jesus destroyed evil itself. So no matter what has happened, or no matter what will happen in the future, from the very moment when Christ utters the words, "It is finished," on the cross, until the moment when Christ will one day return and restore this universe to its original perfection, nothing will be able to proclaim victory over us in the spiritual battlefield that we are all finding ourselves in. Jesus Christ is the righteous one. He's the hero that we need. He reigns over the world in truth and love, and He's here to stay. Because the superheroes that we know and love, they save the day, then they retreat. back to their secret identities. The salvation of Jesus is permanent. It's not a one-time thing. It's an eternal thing. Eternal salvation is ours because the love of Christ has conquered evil forever and ever. That in and of itself is a true source of comfort and hope for all of us that are still left to live in this time of tension between the things that have already occurred and the things that still have been promised for us in the future. If we're always living our lives with one foot in the present day and one foot in the world to come, that can be very distressing for us, especially at times when we're falling into despair, especially at times when we're trying to fill that God-shaped hole with something that's not quite God-shaped. We can be comforted by the fact that we already know the end of the story. Evil does not prevail in the end. Jesus reassures us of that over and over and over again in his word. He speaks truth and love in our lives in a way that nobody else can. When things were at their worst, we saw our need, saved us, rescued us, sacrificed himself for us, died on the cross for us. On the third day, he rose again for us. He ascended into heaven for us. He has promised to return for us. And on that awesome day, this entire creation is going to see the same thing. Look up in the sky. It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous branch, ascending upon the throne of David, where he will reign forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds true faith. Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please sit. Now to page 159. In there, you will find the words of the Apostles' Creed, our common Christian faith, who speak these words to you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life. Some updates for our prayer list today. We continue to pray for Dorothy Brody. We're very thankful that she was able to come home a few days ago. She is becoming strong. Thanks be to God. Also, we have been praying for Eunice Brink, who was recently hospitalized but now is home and she's doing much better. That's good. Today, we remember the family of our brother in Christ, Bill Luther, who passed away on Wednesday morning. He had been living up in a care facility in Massachusetts for quite some time, so he hadn't been here in Boylston for a while. But we will remember certainly Mary Ann and their family still in prayers. And we give thanks to God today for the marriage of Brock and Michelle Rommelman, which took place here in Trinity yesterday afternoon. Let's go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for your compassion shown in Christ Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep and the righteous Son of David. Keep us trusting at all times in your right hand, in whom true satisfaction is found. Lord, in your mercy. God of Israel, you promise to set caring shepherds over the sheep of your pasture. Drive away deceitful shepherds who scatter your flock, and gather your sheep into your heavenly kingdom by the hands of pious and faithful men whom you send in your name. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry. And today we especially remember before you the congregations of Olive Branch Lutheran in Frogtown and St. Salvatore Lutheran in Benedict as they anticipate the installation of their new pastor, Jim the Entremont, later this afternoon. Bless their ministry and grant them a good transition as he begins the work you have given him to do. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' compassion for the crowd, he provided bread and fish until all could eat their fill and were satisfied. Give us our daily bread according to your will. Help us to use the gifts that you have given us to care for those who are hungry and in need. We thank you for the rain you have sent to water the earth this week. We ask that you would give an extra measure of your grace and mercy to any who are affected by the flooding that occurred in our area. Continue to grant us favorable weather if it be your will. We also thank you for all of your other blessings to us here on earth, especially for those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Christine, Luke, Michael, David, Brian, Jonathan, Lois, Holly, Austin, Holly, Elaine, Marvin, Thomas, Oakley, Alexis, Greg, and Gary. We also thank you and praise your name today for the marriage of Brock and Michelle Rommelman, which took place here yesterday, and we ask that you bless them as they grow in love for you and for one another. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly King, you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us good government and faithful rulers, while reminding us always that all provision comes from you. Bless those who serve in the military, especially Michael, Danny, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. Thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for your constant care and all we need to support this body and life. Attend to those who are in need among us, especially all who are on our prayer list this day, including those who are in care facilities, Greta, Lula, Ronnie, Jim, Charles, and Betty. And we lift before you all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Eunice, Thomas, Jim, Dorothy, Mark, Amy, Tyson, Francie, Brent, Linda, Roland, Butch, Laverne, and all those who are faced with cancer. Free them from dismay and fear by the certainty that Christ is their righteousness. Comfort all who mourn, especially the family and friends of Bill Luther. Remind them that you are the Lord of life and that you have conquered death so that we will live forever. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks to you, O Lord, that you have made us fellow citizens with the saints in light. Keep us in the true faith for as long as you preserve us in this world, that we would hopefully and eagerly await the day when we stand in your presence with them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. This time I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. now stick together the words of the offertory in the bottom of page 159. For you today, a few things going on this week. As I mentioned in the prayers, we will be having a funeral for Bill Luther, and that will actually take place tomorrow here in Trinity. The funeral will be at 11 o'clock in the morning. Visitation is at 9:30 tomorrow morning, and there will be a luncheon and funeral. So, of course, you're all invited to attend. Later today, I also mentioned this in the prayers, that there will be a new pastor installed in Kennedy and Olive Branch. They're forming a school parish committee. So Pastor James D'Entremont will be installed at Kennedy this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And I'd like to invite all of you to come and join me over there so we can show our support and congregation to them over there. And there will be a meal following that service this afternoon in their education. Also, a couple of things to mention. Tomorrow night is the quarterly meeting for the month of July. So we hope our voters will come and join us at 7 o'clock. Those of you who have reports to submit for that meeting, you're asked to do so by noon tomorrow. So James is able to print all of these things. And there's an update in your bulletin today about the solar panel project. I'm sure we're going to hear more about this at the meeting. But we are now officially setting August 4th as the end of our pledge campaign. Thanks be to God. About $79,000 has already been pledged. We still need about another $26,000 if you're still considering making a pledge or increasing the pledge you've already made. Please do so as soon as possible so that we know by August 4th exactly where we stand and whether this project was a success or not. Of course, you can always come to the meeting tomorrow or just call the office if you have any questions about any of them. Looking ahead, this coming Saturday, July 27th, is going to be the next gathering for the middle group. So that group between the young adults and the seniors is the middle. It's through the middle, and you're invited to come and join at the 12 Oaks Winery in the afternoon, beginning at 1 p.m. Mike and Tina Annenberg are the ones to ask if you have any questions about that. You're encouraged to bring lawn chairs, mats, lawn games. It should be a really wonderful time. So that's this coming Saturday. And then please mark your calendars for the following Saturday, August 3rd. We are getting close to the beginning of the school year, and it's our tradition on the first Saturday in August to have a school cleanup. We've got a number of projects that need to be taken care of. We can use all the help we can get. We've got the day free if you're going to be in town for the rummage sales that day, and you've got some time in the morning to come and join us. We'd love to have you help with some of the projects around the school. So that's going to happen from 8 in the morning until noon that day. I think those are all the things I needed to highlight. Did I miss anything? Okay, well, enjoy this beautiful day. Don't forget to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.